Welcome to everyone for to this OOR development meeting. Topic today, as you can see, is whether the OOR code base should be moved to HantoHub. Today we're going to have a briefing, an introduction to HantoHub by Till, and then we'll begin the open discussion of this issue, as well as we'll have some time to discuss the Ontology Summit 2014 and how it's going to be affecting our meeting and development schedule. So, Till.
Yeah, thanks for the introduction. And
Till is going to give us a great introduction to HantoHub.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity to present us this year, and Paul, thanks for joining us today. So I assume that you all got the slides. So let's straightly go to page 2. So HantoHub is a repository for distributed ontologies. You can, the main page is HantoHub.org. Currently, we are in the middle of a major revision, and so you should rather look at the development branch at develop.ontohub.org, because there you can see the new features, and ontohub.org is quite outdated and not very useful at this moment anymore. And there is also a GitHub page where you can see the sources and issue tracker and so on. So HantoHub is basically a repository engine with a web front end and specialized on managing distributed ontologies in the sense of OntoIOP. OntoIOP is an OMG standardization initiative. It was former ISO. Fully spelled out, it means ontology, specification, and modeling, integration, and interoperability. At the OMG meeting this week in Santa Clara, hopefully the request for proposals will be issued. And we have an envisaged answer to the RFP, namely the distributed ontology specification and modeling language DOL. And in particular, DOL ontologies can also be uploaded to OntoHub. And here distributed means they can be logically heterogeneous, so mixing different languages, modular, interlinked, annotated, and distributed over the web. So page 3, so DOL and therefore HantoHub distinguishes between single and distributed ontologies. Single ontologies can be written in OWL, also in Common Logic, propositional logic, first order logic, higher order logic, modal logic. We try to build on existing standards for example, for first order logic, there's CASL and TPTP, and for higher order logic, HA. These languages provide the possibility to write down ontologies, also importing other ones. And then there is the distributed ontology language and also related headcastle, where you can distributed ontologies, where you have not only single ontologies, but you can align them, you can link them, you can extract modules and so on. And so you have a lot of modularity operations available there. And HantoHub can also take these ontologies in those languages. Slide 4. So since HantoHub's notion of ontology is quite generic and that goes much beyond what BioPortal is implementing. BioPortal also has different languages like OWL and OBO, but it's all similar kinds of logics, whereas here we have very different logics. So an ontology is generally a set of symbols, and each symbol has a kind, and all these kinds can be classes, object properties, data properties. In common logic, we just have names and sequence markers, or in first order logic, we have predicates and function symbols. And then an ontology has a set of sentences. There can be axioms, definitions, theorems, And the semantics behind that is given by the theory of institutions, where you can flexibly and generically work with multiple languages and logics. Okay, slide 5. OntoHub has also a notion of repository. So single and distributed ontologies are stored in Git repositories. Git is a version control framework. And the interesting thing is that Git repositories can be accessed both via the usual Git clients. There are command line clients and also graphical clients for Git. And you can, for example, Git clone a repository, then you have a local copy. Then you can pull changes that others have done, or you can push changes to some other repository. So that's always possible. So you can basically do your local editing on your local computer and then push towards OntoHub. And then the changes are available in OntoHub, so you don't need to fiddle with the web front end there. But of course, you can also use the web front end, especially if you are only a casual user or are not acquainted with the Git tools. Then you can just use the web front end and have everything there. The rights management is per repository, so a repository has owners and editors and which have more permissions than ordinary people, and you can also give permissions to other people if you are an owner. And then these rights are assigned to all the ontologies in the repository. It's also possible to have private repositories which cannot be seen by other people, or you can give read access to people you want. That's particularly useful if you want to develop some ontology that not everyone shall see immediately, for example. And repositories can be mirrored so that they basically are read-only, and they are basically I think on a daily basis they're copied from elsewhere. For example, we have mirrors of BioPortal, Colore, and SoCop in OntoHub. You can mirror both Git repositories and Subversion repositories. For example, Colore is Subversion. And you can also mirror BioPortal instance via the BioPortal API. I know that the API is deprecated and there is now the triple store, but we are still using the API, and probably will change this to the triple store. Then slide 6, the state of development is that we have 4 programmers working on OntoHub and 2 Ruby on Rails consultants, which also do some programming but also do code review and architecture design and so on. And 3 ontology people who are basically interface to the ontology world and fill this with ontology. Probably 3 is underestimated. There are more now. The sources of OntoHub are open source under the AGPL license. And we also have tried to implement a small subset of the OR requirements. So if you see at slide 7, at the left-hand side, you see the current architecture of OntoHub, which is basically written in Ruby on Rails. So you see the Rails components, action, view, controller, and record. We have a PostgreSQL database. And then there is the heterogeneous toolset HETS for analyzing ontologies in different languages. Currently, the interface works through the file system and through the Git repository. In the future, this could also be replaced by web services. On the right-hand side, you see the OR architecture. That's basically a plan of OR. It has never been implemented yet, but We try to use this as a general guideline. And on slide 8, you see the possible future architecture of Onto Hub, how we try to realize it. And I have also included all the OR components here. So at the bottom, you have the persistence layer, which is basically consisting of Git repositories or subversion repositories. Then above there, you have the federation layer. If you want to have several Onto Hub instances that should be able to communicate with each other, which is currently not possible yet. There is a communication with BioPortal possible, but only a limited one that should be extended in the future. Then at the top, you see parsing and static analysis. This is done by both this heterogeneous toolset for, say, first and higher order logic and common logic, and by the OWL API for OWL, for example, and OBO. The presentation layer is basically currently just Ruby on Rails driven. In the future, we might want to include WebProtégé, but we should bear in mind that Onto Hub has this language, this multi-language approach, so WebProtégé will only be available for OWL ontologies and OBO ontologies, of course, but not for, say, common logic ontologies. Then on the right-hand side, you see evaluation. So we have already integrated the OOPS service that can provide feedback, but only to OWL ontologies. And in the future, we will also include or basically connect to local inference and distributed inference, so making logical inferences using various theorem provers. Basically, we have already in this heterogeneous toolset heads, we have a lot of provers and model finders already integrated, and we also have designed a RESTful API for heads, but that still needs to be integrated into Onto Hub. Okay, so that's for the architecture. Now slide 9, here you see the start page. This is so small. So you see Onto Hub and some welcome message and recent ontologies and recent repositories. So let's go to slide 10. Here you see an overview of the logics that are available. For example, you see common logic, you see OWL, and you see for each logic also how many ontologies you have there. Then on slide 11, if we go into a particular logic, this time OWL, then we can see a list of ontologies using this logic. Of course, we can also search for ontologies if you click on ontologies and so on. On slide 12, we see repositories. For example, you see BioPortal there, Colore, you see Common Logic Structural Ontology by Fabian Neuhaus, you see HeadSlip, that's the libraries of the heterogeneous toolset. You see Romulus, which is a repository of upper ontologies from South Africa. You see Sandbox there, that's for experimenting, and you see SOCOP there, which was also one reason why we have this teleconference, because the SOCOP BioPortal instance is down now, but we have actually managed to extract the content before it was down and put it onto Hub. Page 13, we have also designed a category system. Here you see the top categories. This unclassified should vanish there. I'm not sure why it's still there. Probably it's a bit outdated. We have BioPortal, of course, has some classification system, SOCOP has, and so on. But since Onto Hub should be general purpose, we have come up with a completely new ontology of subjects that could be used for classification. So it's not entirely new, of course. It's based on an existing European ontology, but that could also be extended if there is need for specialized categories. And you can click on those pluses, and then you get more details. Slide 14. So that's our future idea would be to decouple components. So it's basically what I have already presented on slide 8. The idea is to have RESTful services that speak to each other. And on slide 15, more distributedness. So links between ontologies, formal interpretations and informal alignments. Actually, in DOL, you can already write alignments like in BioPortal, although it's a bit different. It's more following the alignment API of Jérôme Usena and others, where you have one alignment consists of a lot of correspondences, and you can have several alignments between a given pair of ontologies, whereas in BioPortal, basically these mappings there are what in the alignment API are called correspondences. And linked data compliance, actually, the slide is a bit outdated here as well. So we already have some linked data compliance that you can have good names or good URLs for ontologies, and you can, if you have one ontology, so basically the URL consists of ontohub.org/repository-name/path to the ontology. And then if you enter this in your browser, you get a nice HTML view. But for example, if you wget it, you get the raw file of the ontology. And so you can add one URL, get different representations of one and the same ontologies. So if you have some feedback, you're also welcome, of course, now in the discussion to tell it, but also to go to the issue tracker, which is here on the slide. Yeah, thank you for your attention.
Thanks, Till. It was a very informative talk. Now we're going to move over to the open discussion about the issue. Let me begin by mentioning a few issues that we could discuss. First one was, do we have installation instructions that are current? Has that been?
Yes. If you go to the call of this teleconference at Ontolog, there you can see a link to OntoHub, and then you see on this OntoHub page, you see the last link there is installation. That leads you into the wiki of OntoHub. I can also post the link in the chat. Just a moment.
I have that on the shared screen too.
So at this
instant, that link up.
Yes, I can paste the link.
So yeah, I've pasted the link. So at this wiki page, you have something about installation. So the installation is described at the GitHub page, but there's also an automated script. I have tested that yesterday, and it was not okay, but I have corrected it. It should run now. And this script is for Ubuntu 12.04. And you have, you basically have to tell this script the branch. So currently I would suggest the develop branch. Hopefully in the near future it will be the master branch where we have the new features available. And then there's also a virtual machine image based on Ubuntu. where you can also have a look.
Oh, great. We can try testing this out.
Yeah, sure. And if you have problems, please let us know. And there is the developers mailing list. I should put that into the wiki as well. Okay, now you have also the email address here.
Okay, where did you put that?
If you just reload this installation page, you should get the email address at the bottom.
Oh, okay. Got it. Excellent. All right. When you're using this OntoHub, I presume you need to sign in. You need an account of some sort.
Yeah, if you just want to browse, you don't need an account. But if you want to upload ontologies and do other things, then you need an account. But it's very easy to create one.
Yes. Now, if somebody created it, so we're assuming that we can, make our own instances, what would the procedure be for federating our instance with other instances?
Yeah, as I said, currently there is no federation yet. What we can do is actually we can mirror Git repositories, so that's already possible now. So we could mirror all the Git repositories from the other instances, but we wouldn't get the metadata yet. But I think that won't take long that we also can transfer the metadata.
So we should plan that as an item to work on for the for OOR and OntoHub.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
I think that would be good because we are going to be we have to work on cooperating among the various teams and instances. So that would be an important thing to work on. Although the other thing is, so once you've installed it, I haven't personally done that yet, but I'll try to do that soon. Then the issue is customization. So presumably you need a number of configuration files and customization files that have to be examined, and then possibly changing some of the defaults. Do you have instructions for that? I mean, at least some advice about the configuration and customization?
I'm not sure. So there are some configuration files where you can, for example, the most obvious thing is the domain name. You can customize it and so on. But probably we should create a wiki page for more detailed instructions how to customize. And generally, we would prefer to use configuration files instead of code branches to customize things.
Oh, yeah. It's doing that would make it easier to move to new versions.
Exactly.
So you wouldn't have to do code merging, which is really time-consuming. So I think a wiki page would be ideal for that. If we had, as individuals are making their instances, they can put in their advice and their, and it'll be beneficial to other people who are creating instances. Perhaps have a federation wiki page as well as a customization page.
Yeah, sure. Once we have federation, we will also have a page explaining that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I did start to do installation, and I did notice that there were a lot of required software and versions associated with it. Is versioning going to be an issue? For instance, you know, what version of Ruby you're using, what version of Tomcat?
Yeah, that's all well balanced out. So we're currently using Ruby version 2.0, and I'm not sure whether 1.9 still would work. And also for these, we have a lot of gems that we need. I think 30 or 40 different gems, and all with coming with their versions. And so that should basically be as in the installation instruction. Otherwise, there might be problems if you have versions that don't work together well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's because as I was doing it, it just at one point, you know, it stopped and it said you need to edit some such and such a file specifying all these version numbers. What?
There is this gem file and gemfile.log where you have all these version numbers, and but normally it should basically
Well, no, that didn't bother me. What bothered me is that someone might actually be using other gems already, in which case there might be a clash of versions on their system.
For example, in our installation instructions, we suggest to use RVM for Ruby, and with RVM you can have different gem sets. That means
right.
For each project you can have a new gem set and also a new Ruby version, and that means that there is no clash of versions even if you have different Ruby installations on the same computer.
That would be good to make note of that. Thanks. What about Tomcat? How heavily are you using Tomcat?
I'm not sure.
I mean, it doesn't seem to be fundamental to the architecture, but that's hard to tell.
My guess is you guys are just using it for solar, which requires some kind of Java application container.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Solar is used for the search, and then, Tomcat is used for solar. That's true.
Okay, so I guess that's not too fundamental. All right. And I noticed you do have a virtual machine image.
Yes.
So any other issues that people can bring up? Michael, do you have any issues that might be of concern to you using it for Calore?
Well, since we use Subversion for persistence, and so we've been lagging behind on the rest of the interface. I would want to kind of study this a little more closely just to see, because there's a lot of aspects of Calore where, for example, the notion of a hierarchy, it's kind of a fundamental construct within the repository. It's a set of ontologies that all have the same signature. And that construct's kind of crucial to a lot of the other procedures that are intended to kind of work over the repository, doing the mappings and finding similarities between ontologies and things like that. So I'd want to kind of take a closer look at at that set of modules there. As Till mentioned, you're using WebProtege as the presentation is not going to work for Calore, because that WebProtege can't handle common logic. But I think of this idea, if you know, like on slide 8, the different modules. So you know, you have the parsing static analysis modules, local inference modules, and things like that. So you know, that kind of architecture would be something I would definitely like to be able to see. You know, so that, and that's kind of, that was proposed in some of the very earliest architecture diagrams by Cameron Ross with respect to Calore. So yeah, I would definitely like to be able to have that sort of idea. And you know, if anything, as long as we have the persistence being based on repositories, then we should be able to integrate that. But like I said, I want to kind of study this a little bit more just to see how it would impact the way that ontologies are structured and the kind of ontology mappings are being specified.
So basically, currently you're using Google Code as a web content for subversion.
Right.
And so I think most of the functionality is already there in OntoHub. So okay, with the difference that we have Git instead of Subversion, because Git is more flexible, but you can also use Git with the Subversion, like in a Subversion-like manner. And then you have pages where you can browse through the ontology files and browse through the folders like you can do in Google Code. And but you can do more because you will also, from the files, you have direct links to the ontologies themselves.
That's right. Same thing we have in Calore. There's a lot of, I see a lot here that we can definitely reuse for sure. But I want to kind of take a little closer look just to see, because again, the repository structured into hierarchies, and that's a pretty fundamental construct within Calore.
Yeah, well, that's basically using just the directory structure, probably.
Well, that's the implementation of it. There's kind of it corresponds to a metalogical relationship. So.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, but I agree. You know, like I say, the persistence idea. So yeah, physically, you're right. I mean, these are directories within the GitHub or Subversion repository, and so that's fine, right? Yeah, we can.
And Google Code gives you just that.
Yeah.
Google Code doesn't support your conceptual structure on top of that. Does
no,
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
So if we could support this by OntoHub, then we would happy to. Learn about your suggestions.
Because when I look at what you've taken from Calore and taken to AutoHub, it's unrecognizable. Maybe that's just a question of the presentation, on the presentation side, but it's difficult to be able to take a look at hierarchies and take a look at how the mappings are done between ontologies and different hierarchies. That's not a big criticism, because you guys have had different priorities in terms of implementing AutoHub. I'm just saying, there's still a little bit of work to do on both of our sides to get Calore kind of federated with AutoHub.
Okay, so you mean the hierarchies that we in AutoHub you can just browse through the folder hierarchy, but you don't have this pluses where you can actually see the whole hierarchy at once. Is this what you mean?
Yeah, and other kind of, I mean, what we were going to be doing actually was kind of representing, having a RDF triple store that kind of represented all the different metadata in the repository, and then being able to use like an RDF browser to do the navigation. But see, that's more on the presentation side. So we should be have a lot of flexibility there.
So how does versioning work with this setup?
Well, it's all done by Git or Subversion here.
It's all done by I get, but how would that be reflected in the ontologies and the metadata?
So you have basically your files in the repository, and you can see the version history, and then you also have the ontologies themselves. And for the ontologies, you can see the logical content. But that's only available for the most recent version. But you can also see the previous version of the ontologies in the ontology view. So in a sense, we distinguish between the file and the ontology. The file is basically the raw file, which you can also edit and update with a new version. And the ontology is basically the logical theory in some language, where you have a set of symbols, a set of axioms, and relations to other ontologies, and so on.
Yeah,
and those are versions. The versions.
Yeah, those are versions.
Yeah.
But what if you are in an ontology and you wish to refer to, or say import another ontology, but not just the ontology, but a specific version of it, which might not be the current one?
And then you have to use the link with that specific version. So you can just pick yourself through onto Hub, and then basically you will find the URL with the specific version. These are these Git version stems that you need then. But you just can go through the onto repository browsing. I'm not sure that there's a shared screen.
I wasn't talking so much about browsing so much as processing.
Yeah, but with the browsing you see what's going on there.
I think the idea using treating ontology versions just as you would treat any other software artifact. There's nothing special. I mean, you're right. There's nothing special about an ontology version. I don't know if we're really there yet. I don't think the community's really kind of figured out what an ontology version is.
Yeah, that's my point.
Well, no, so I think that what this is doing is it's not making any commitment. I agree with that. I mean, I don't think we should be making a commitment on what an ontology version is as distinct from version as a software artifact.
Right. And, I mean, if you wanted to refer to such a version, say, within an import in your ontology, is there a nice clean mechanism for doing that?
I don't know.
Or are we just not at that stage yet?
So, Taylor, do you keep track of URIs for old versions? I don't think so, right?
Because in principle, then, when you import something like that, you'd have to annotate every URI within it as being an old version, which would be, I'm not sure how easily that would, that could be processed. Just,
you've had troubles with this in BioPortal as well, because the versioning is, the versioning is really up to the ontology authors, and we have no way of knowing when something is submitted, whether it's actually a new version of the ontology or an intermediate step between version 1 and version 1.1 or version 1 and 2.0. So we really actually moved away from the notion of versions and just went to the concept of submissions. So we don't try to make any claims about the versioning of particular submissions in the repository. We allow ontology authors to set the versioning information themselves, either through standard properties that might be available in OWL or OBO, or just by using, a field when they submit the ontology themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's helpful knowing your experience with that. Peter has his hand up.
Yes, I have a few comments. First of all, now that we're seriously moving the code base of sort of the core OOR instance from BioPortal to OntoHub, I strongly want to see that there is a healthy dialogue between OntoHub developers and BioPortal developers. And on that, thanks, my special thank you to Paul Alexander, the lead developer for the BioPortal front end, to join us today. And I hope maybe there's some discussions between Paul and Till to see how we could speed up maybe the interface, the eventual integration at whatever level agreed upon, and federation of these code bases. That's number one. And past that, I would also, also want to ask Till, or maybe open the discussion to where or whether we have plans to implement like OMV-based registry metadata, which we have talked about quite a bit, and maybe also see, since Paul is here, what BioPortal is doing about that. And lastly, maybe a short clarification on where we stand on IPR as far as the codes are concerned. So over to Paul and Till. Where do you see like the two sets of codes interface and eventually integrate and federate? Or how can we put that on a sort of planned agenda? I mean, I can definitely see further down the road there'll be multiple BioPortal based instances, like, I mean, what ESIP would be doing, besides the biomedical ontologies, and obviously there'll be huge build up of various repositories that are based on OntoHub. So instead of having two branches go their own way, it would be best if we have some consensus that on the path going forward on how to integrate or federate them.
I can speak to the BioPortal NCBO side of things, if that's helpful. But I first wanted to say that OntoHub actually looks great. I didn't have a chance before the meeting to look into it too much, and I've seen some of the development going on, but I'm very impressed with the work that you guys have done, and I'm excited to see where the project heads. In terms of federating and looking at how we might be able to interface with OntoHub directly, I was actually going, and I will post in the comments at some point, a link to a Ruby client that we have for the new version of the ontologies REST service that BioPortal provides. I imagine it would make it very easy to migrate the code that you guys have working on the older version of the API over to the new one if you're already going to be working in Ruby. So I'll post a link to that in the comments. In terms of federation and things like that, our resources are unfortunately pretty limited in terms of what we can do outside of the major aims of the grants that we're working on. And to my knowledge, we don't have any work on federation that's planned. The REST service that we do have would, I think, work very well in a federated environment. If you could do something like multiple, you know, you knew how to query against a BioPortal REST service, you knew that there were 20 of them out there that have been registered in the central repository, you could pretty easily fire off, say, a search query to each one and group the results when they came back, something like that. In terms of more direct federation or federation support in the NCDO code base itself, that's something that I don't think we'll be working on, but I'm not positive about that. And of course, our priorities could change as we receive new funding and things like that. And I should also add that the ability, we haven't been able to focus much attention on the ability to extend BioPortal easily via some kind of plug-in architecture, but the new system we are using for running the REST services, which is all based on Ruby and Sinatra code, is fairly easily extensible. You don't get hooks necessarily directly into the code, but there are opportunities to run essentially filters before and after a new requests are processed. And then we're also using with Sinatra something called RAC that allows you to write middleware that can really, it's very powerful. It can affect the entire request and response cycle. So there would be opportunity to extend our code via something like that. And dropping in a new RAC middleware is a trivial task. Writing RAC middleware itself is a little more difficult, but dropping in a new RAC middleware is a trivial task. And the nice thing about that is it's not reliant upon what we might do in our specific code base that deals with BioPortal. The API won't change for RAC unless RAC, you know, bumps a major version and we go to that version with them. But it's a very stable project. If you wrote a RAC middleware, you know, you wouldn't have to worry about your code breaking later on as much as you might if you were really getting into the internals of code that we've worked on. Of course, our REST API is going to be set. We won't be changing that, you know, too much moving forward. And I do think it's a nice system to be able to kind of peg on. You should be able to get up and working with that very easily. The new API, I think, is much friendlier than the old one.
So is there any publication of the API when we say new being already implemented or being implemented, Paul?
I'm sorry, by publication you mean documentation?
Documented,
or?
Yeah,
actually, I can put the I'll add that to the comments right now. But the API is actually self-documenting, so anytime it updates, it gets deployed as a part of our API deployment process.
But is the API continued? Because on the BioPortal wiki, I have read that it's deprecated.
That version of the API is deprecated, and the documentation is moving over to our actual code deployment. So the documentation won't be in the wiki anymore. We did that simply because we wanted to really tie the documentation to the code so that we knew it was always going to be updated with the most recent changes we've deployed.
Okay, so it's not just moving every thing towards the triple store, but there's still the API.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, the triple store, though it does drive the, you know, core, it's the core data storage mechanism for BioPortal, it's not intended to be a production level, you know, open access kind of database. We will have a public instance of the triple store at some point with the new RDF schema that we've come up with. But even that, we wouldn't recommend people try to, you know, build a production system on. It's just with Sparkle queries, being able to chew up the entire, you know, one query being able to tie up an entire database, we just won't be able to provide the level of service that we do with our REST service. So the REST service is the primary means of accessing data. We have optimized that a lot to handle high traffic. There's tons of caching in there. It supports full HTTP caching, so if clients can implement an HTTP cache, they'll be able to just, you know, put it right on top of our REST API and get, we think, pretty good performance. So I'll post a link to both the API, the documentation, and the client, the Ruby client that we've written to interface with the REST API.
That's great. That's cool.
And concerning RAC, so we are using Ruby on Rails, which is also based on RAC. So would this be an advantage for the Federation that we could basically not work at the RESTful level, but directly at the RAC level? That would be one level deeper or one level below the RESTful interface? Or how can I understand that?
That's an interesting idea, that there might be a RAC middleware that you could drop into, you know, an ontology, quote unquote ontology repository, and kind of get some interoperability based on that. I would need to think about that a little more, about exactly how that might work, but that's definitely an interesting concept. Unfortunately, running a RAC middleware on your system, I don't think would provide any way to, you know, more easily access our system. If we were both running the same RAC middleware, then it would provide perhaps a common interface if we could figure out a way to do that, or at least a common interface to program against internally, where you know that this set of requests need to be fulfilled, I'm going to provide the data for it. And because the RAC middleware is there kind of enforcing this contract, then your system knows that if it hits this particular URL, it's going to get back this kind of data.
That would be more fine-grained integration than just using the REST API.
Exactly. Like I said, it would almost be, if it was, I'm not going to commit to anything, but you could imagine it being something that if you dropped in, it would just essentially give you a set of your URL endpoints that if you could provide data for, it would just be a unified way of accessing the data in a particular repository, no matter how that repository actually handles its own URL structures and things like that. It would just be kind of a separate interface that might be easily provided. But I would need to think a lot more about what that might look like.
But to start with, we could just use the RESTful API. That would require no programming, no extra programming at your side. And I have understood the RAC middleware would need to run on both systems, so you would need some programming at your side.
Exactly. And like I said, we do have a Ruby client that's available. We may be writing clients in some other languages if there's some demand for it. But we do have the Ruby client available, and the Ruby client for the REST API is always up to date with our code changes, because we actually use that client to drive our API. I'm sorry, not our API, our UI. So our UI uses that Ruby client to interact with the REST API. And so it'll always be up to date with new code changes.
Good. I have a completely different question. So we have already used the BioPortal REST API to get all the ontologies and also some of the metadata. Is BioPortal happy with that we provide a mirror of all what's there, or are there some legal issues there?
I can't speak to that fully, unfortunately. That's above my pay grade, I guess you would say. So I'll leave that to, if you guys want an official response, I'm happy to contact Ray Ferguson and Mark Musin and, you know, ask them to comment on it specifically. We definitely house ontologies that are license encumbered. And do not allow distribution, but those shouldn't be available from our REST API. So, for example, if you're using the REST API to download ontologies, the ones that are license encumbered or are private, you shouldn't have access to. I'm not sure exactly what response you would get when you try to do the request, but it'll be either a 403 or a 500 if our code is broken on the old system. So we hopefully have made it so that if you mirrored BioPortal with things that are available with a you know, just regular API key, that you won't get anything that you're not allowed to distribute. But we don't ask users whether or not they will allow mirroring of the content. Though, again, we haven't had any complaints about it. Nobody's asked us to actually restrict mirroring, except for those ontologies which are licensed and covered. So that includes a large subset of the UMLs, for example, which are some of the most popular ontologies.
Yeah, that's great. We have used the API, so hopefully we don't have any legal issues. But it would also be great if you could ask the people you mentioned whether this is okay, or whether we need to do something, or whether we need to restrict ourselves to certain ontologies and so on.
Sure. I'm happy to get a formal statement from Mark and Ray.
Ah, thanks a lot.
Yeah, they I think on the support list, they always mention a few of those that have problems, like SNOMED and so on.
Peter? Could I just make a short comment or a question there? What would happen if you did have permission to use, for example, SNOMED, and you wanted to have it available on a local instance, for which you have every right to do?
You can always use a private repository in OntoHub.
Right, but how would you interact with BioPortal or?
Yeah, that becomes tricky. If you're running your own instance of BioPortal, which is possible through, either getting the code up and running or using one of our virtual appliance images, then basically what we would say is if you have permission to run it, then you'll need to load it yourself into the system. That's a little more complicated in the newer release because we don't support the RRF distribution of the UMLS anymore. So we do have some scripts that would allow people to point at the SQL distribution of UMLS and then essentially extract the ontologies from there. And once you have the, we convert them to Turtle. Once you have the Turtle files, those are easily submittable to the BioPortal.
Okay, yeah. It sounds like it's possible, although I guess it would take some work to do something like that.
Yeah, we're because the UMLS is so frequently used, we'll definitely be examining, especially now that we have the new version of the appliance out there, we'll definitely be examining how we might be able to ease that process a little bit. That may be something like having a script on the appliance itself that you point at your UMLS database, and we can simply extract the data from there, add it to BioPortal automatically, trying to ease that process as much as possible. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where we're able to actually distribute the version that we have in our system to other people. I think that will always be prohibited by the terms of the license. So we will likely at some point try to ease the process as much as we can, but unfortunately we won't be able to make it as easy as we might like by just, say, taking an RDF dump out of the triple store that we have and allowing you to import that directly via some mechanism that we've built into the system. I don't think we'll ever be able to have that level of integration, unfortunately.
Right. It sounds like that may be something you'd have to bring up with the actual owners of those ontologies.
Yeah, we have worked with them, and the setup we have, they're comfortable with for the time being. They allow people to view the ontologies online without having a license, and so we felt like getting that far was a nice first step, and I'm sure the conversation with them will continue.
Right. I mean, it's they up until now they probably hadn't even thought about the possibility of having federated repositories and how that may affect what they're doing. You know, what their IPR restrictions are. In any case, I don't think we can do anything about that. Specifically about all we can do is try to provide some kind of mechanism that they could use if they choose to do so. Let's see. Are there any other IPR issues that need to be addressed? I think Peter brought up a few.
No, the content IPR issues are probably more restrictive, but I just want a clarification maybe on from Till. I know previously you mentioned the OntoHub code. You're planning to put it under HETL. And we had previously had sort of a whole series of discussions and identified a sort of the least encumbered license, namely the simplified BSD, to be the license of choice for all our code base. So is there some way you could reconsider?
So as I said when we discussed this issue last time, so if there is some real license compatibility issue, then we can think of relicensing onto HUB on a different license. But until this happens, we would prefer to stay with the AGPL because this protects onto HUB from being used. So let me stress that AGPL means you can commercially use this code, but if you have some additions, then you must share them again. So you're not allowed to improve the code without sharing your improvements. And I think that's this copyleft principle is quite useful. And of course, it can be a problem if there is some incompatibility between licenses and preventing you to assemble a certain system. But first, I would like to see that this incompatibility is practically there, and we can discuss this.
But presumably that wouldn't apply to customization.
It will.
No. That's basically. So if you have a configuration file, then you wouldn't need to share the configuration file. But if you add something to the code that you have some fancy new tabs which do new things, then you would have to share that. That's true.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. Okay.
That rules out sort of commercialization without your permission. At least that's what commercial people will be looking at this. I want to reiterate the point is that at least at OntoLock and at OR, we have taken a very long road to make sure, actually, because at least personally for me, I see ontology and the semantic technology to be extremely crucial. I just hope that it does not go into private hands or hands of any particular groups, and also give a chance to be adopted by anyone. And as we know, I'm a believer of Richard Stallman. So I like GPL on particular commercializable technology, but not on fundamental sort of basic technology, and I see sort of something like an ontology repository or something like ontology technologies are very basic. I mean, it's like trying to get a patent on mathematics. I think is fundamentally wrong.
Yeah, but GPL is not a patent. It's the opposite. So,
no. I know it's the opposite. I mean, it's sort of, but the net result is it somewhat stops commercialization. I mean, it's unfortunate. We wish that doesn't happen, but it does.
I wouldn't say it stops commercialization. So. You can still, so you're right, it's a fundamental thing and as fundamental technology. It's like IBM put hundreds of millions of dollars into Linux, and Linux is under GPL. So, but IBM still does this because they need Linux for their commercial strategies. So if anyone needs OntoHub for their commercial strategies, that's not a problem at all. So the only thing that AGPL prevents is that you make money with directly customizing OntoHub in a certain way and not sharing your customization if it's code-based. And if someone wants to do that, then they should speak with us, and we could also find some agreement. But so the AGPL basically prevents that other people commercialize the base technology, and basically we have developed the base technology, so that means any commercialization should be agreed upon with us. And but that does not prevent anyone to have commercial strategies based upon OntoHub. And but that just means that any improvements of the base technology must be shared with the community, but normal commercial strategies will have add-ons and will have further technology, which would be separate from OntoHub but related to OntoHub. So, like that, if you use Linux, you can develop middleware and you can develop application software. And of course, you don't need to put your middleware and your application software under GPL just because you're using the GPL licensed Linux.
Yeah, I guess let's take this offline, and we're not trying to resolve this, but I just wanted to take the opportunity to point that out. So maybe going to the last
question item on the agenda.
I had one more question about where we stand on implementing the capture of ontology metadata when content is updated or uploaded. Is there a mechanism there now, or is there a plan to implement that?
So you mean Federation, or you mean if you newly upload?
No, normally when you upload an ontology, the system forced you to say what's the name of the ontology, what does it work, who made it, I mean what version number, what kind of license, content license, and so on and so forth. I mean the things that we talked about, I mean with OMV and extensions from OMV.
If you upload an ontology through the web interface, there is a form that you have to fill in. That's similar to BioPortal. We could discuss which fields should be required and which fields should be optional, but you see, you have to provide the name of the ontology, you have to provide some categories and some other metadata. A more difficult question is what happens if you use Git to just add some ontology and then push it? Because we want people be able to use Git for ontology management and also for ontology creation. But it's not clear entirely how we can enforce that people also take care of the metadata then.
Thank you. So as I posted slightly earlier, I hope maybe between the AutoHub team and the BioPortal team, there will be some regular, maybe quarterly or even 6 months session where both parties can have a conversation on aligning APIs and things like that. Is that all possible? I mean, today's meeting is great, and maybe we need one that's sort of the next level down in terms of details. So back to
Would be great.
That's okay, Paul, with you and your group. Oh, by the way, congratulations on releasing the new
The new appliance?
The new appliance yesterday. I'm sorry.
Thank you. We're happy to have that out, and we're hoping people can get it and take a look and see what we left broken. In terms of our regular meeting, unfortunately, I can't comment on that. I could go to Mark and Ray, and I don't want to commit us to something that that we don't have the resources to adhere to. Of course, you know, we're happy to have people using the code. If there are questions that come up, we're happy to answer them on the support list. But anything beyond that, I would need to talk to Mark and Ray about.
Sure.
Okay. Now can we get to that last item?
Yeah, I need to go in about 10 minutes. So.
Right. That's why I wanted to get to this.
Yeah. Looks like this only needs 1 minute. I wanted to let the rest of the team know, because some of you were not at last week's meeting. This will be the last OR meeting for the year. And in fact, we will take a break on regular OOR meetings so that the whole OOR team, there are lots of overlaps in membership, could devote their attention to supporting the next Ontology Summit, which will be on Semantic Web, Big Data, and Applied Ontology. And of course, among the tracks, there's one track that is focused on content. There's a track focused on tools and techniques in OOR and work with by people on the OOR team are very relevant there, and we need people's support on there. So would be great if people would join to help organize it. If you don't have the time to do that, please join the content sessions, which would be the weekly panel sessions, and contribute your technical expertise.
And I think the other thing too, like there's the track, track A, which is related to content, but if that's more organizing the different sessions, I think they'll also, you know, we're still in the preliminary stages of planning, but there might also be a kind of an effort where we gather all the different ontologies that are being discussed during the summit. And I think putting those into AutoHub would be the thing that we'd want to ensure. So having some representation from OOR, AutoHub in particular, to kind of guarantee that content actually migrates into AutoHub. So we'd have to have some kind of active participation from somebody there.
Okay, yeah.
If maybe all of her could consider joining us there. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Oliver is not on the chat anymore, but I will tell him offline.
Yeah, we're having a next organizing committee meeting this coming Friday. Please join us there. It's the first two meetings, probably, maybe the first three meetings are most crucial. A lot of the, practically all the planning is done within those first few meetings, and the rest are mainly implementations.
Okay.
So that's all.
Okay, so so I guess we won't have meetings until what, May?
Probably, yes. At least not OOR standalone meetings.
Okay, so that's the time frame. All right. So any other business to be... I see no more comments, or nobody has their hand up. So I guess we can adjourn the meeting, and the next meeting will be at some point in May. Thanks, everybody, for coming. It's been a very productive meeting. I think we made a huge amount of progress. And looking forward to the development of a new set of OOR instances based on AntoHub.
Great.
Oh, great. Great meeting. Thanks.
Yep. Talk to everyone during the summit, too.
Yes, looking forward to talking in that context.
Yes. Okay, bye-bye.
Oh, bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.